Praise God. Father, we lift this day up to you, Lord. Thank you so much for everyone that's here. Father, I look around and the first word that comes to my mind is faithfulness. Your word says, without faith, it's impossible to please you. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. So, Lord, I pray that for all of us, that diligently seeking you, Father, that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we would love our neighbor as ourself. Father, that you would prune us today with your word, Lord, that you would build us up today with your word, that you would challenge us today with your word, Father. And I think about the subject of respecting authority, Lord, and just so many things come into my mind, Father, and we're just going to concentrate on your word and your commands and understand that you are the way and the truth and the life, Father, and I give you the glory. And Lord, we lift up Edie today, Lord, who's just been fighting this battle. Lord, we're thankful for the sisters that you've brought alongside of her, and we just want to lift her up to you today, Father, for a healing touch upon her life fighting this cancer, Lord. And we just give you the glory, Lord, for all that you're doing within the church body here, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Praise God. Authority comes really in many shapes and sizes. Is there anybody else that needs a listening guide today? Because it's so important that you have this, especially if you're a teenager. I would advise you to take two listening guides today. Praise God. It's beautiful. Raise your hand. I'll pass them out if you need any. There's here a young man up there. Praise God. Thank you all. Authority comes really in many shapes and sizes. Think about it. When you're 40, it might be that IRS agent sitting across the desk from you, and he or she is auditing your taxes for the last 2 years. Praise God for taxes. When you're in your 30s, it might be the police officer that just pulled you over because you didn't quite come to a complete stop at the intersection. And I read that and I thought, well, that happened to me when I was in the 50s, but praise God. When you're 20, it might be that college professor that is warning you on the first day of sophomore biology lab about the penalty for faking your lab results. When you're 15, it's the line supervisor at that fast food chain that is teaching you the value of treating each customer as if they were the president. But when you're 5 years old, it's only one authority in your life. It's your parents. Think about it. Robert Fulghum wrote this book entitled, Everything I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. And I really think the job of every parent is to teach your children at their earliest of ages how to properly respond to authority. Think about it. Today in our country and even around the world, there's many that don't really respect authority or look up to the authority. They really don't want to model authority or celebrate authority, you know, like our servicemen, like our policemen, like our firemen, like our first responders. They're the authority in their lives. And I think about who really has the hardest jobs in America. And I really thought about Ben Carson. He's a guy I really look up to. I really like. I watched that movie, Gifted Hands, about his life. Boy, what he came through. What his mom did to raise the two of them. If you've never seen the movie, Gifted Hands, it's powerful. And I'm thinking to myself, well, he's the secretary of HUD, Housing and Urban Development. He has a tough job in America. They asked him, what are you going to do to help people in inner city? I'm going to get them off assistance. I'm going to get them the education they need. I'm going to get them the work, things that they need to go to work. And I think about Betsy DeVos, who's the Secretary of Education. She has a lot of authority in America. She oversees education all around the United States. And I remember a few months ago when she came into D.C., they didn't even want her. They didn't even want her there. They asked her to leave. They didn't really respect authority there. And then I thought about Paul when he wrote to the church at Philippi. And I'm thinking he wrote these like verses, chapter 2, 12 through 16. He wrote these verses, I really think, like a parent to the people in the church in Philippi. And then I thought to myself, wow, every parent should really teach this to their children. Look at this. So then, my beloved, because you want to look at your kid, you want to call him your beloved. Just as you have always obeyed, and they're getting ready to go off to school, they're getting ready to go off to college, and they've been living in your home all this time, and you say, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So you're going out on your own, you're living on your own, and what do they tell you to do? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I hope you understand. I mean, you could look at your neighbor right now and say, God works in you. Think about it. He works in you. He wants you to be an ambassador for him. He wants you to make a difference for him in your life. And then he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. What would happen if we lived like that? Think about it. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Let's read that part together. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Now, why in the world would Paul write that? Why in the world would the Holy Spirit of God, you know, speak through Paul and write that down for the ages? To do all things without grumbling and disputing. Why? So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And maybe it might be a generation that doesn't respect authority or celebrate authority or want anything to do with authority. And then he shares, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You realize this? When we walk out these doors every week, we're light. We have the light of Christ in us, and we're supposed to go and shine our lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I have reason to give glory because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. And I thought about this message respecting authority, and on Wednesday night, the guys have been going to Scripture and an authority in the age of skepticism. So we're in this class, us men, and you know, I want us all to learn to be facilitators of the Word. And what are we discussing on Wednesday night? Is the Bible divine? Is it true? Is it clear? Is it sufficient? Is it good? And I thought to myself, there might be people sitting in this audience right now in this church service. They might have a question about the Bible. If you have a question about the Bible, I would love for you to write it down in your prayer sheet and turn it in with your offering today. You don't have to put your name on it. Just think during the service, if I had to ask God one thing or two things about the Bible, what would I want to know? Then I want to collect those and bring those on Wednesday night. We're going to answer them together, man. Because we're learning the Scripture. And we want to, and the Scripture is the authority of our life, just like parents are authority in your life. Parents, teaching your children these things will set them up for success for the rest of their lives. I have four main points today that I'd like to share with you today why you should honor your mother and father. One, honor your father and mother because it's the right thing to do. Exodus 20:12 says, God has commanded you to honor your father and mother. Ephesians 6:1 says, it's the right thing. So honor is the proper response to the directive of God. The question of every child when told to do something that they don't want to do is what? Why? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to throw out the trash? Why do I have to do my homework? Why do I have to take a shower? I'm talking about young boys now. Directive meaning an authoritative instruction or direction or specific order. Sometimes the parents might take the time to explain to the child the practical results if what they're directed to do doesn't happen that way, like saying, you might get hurt. And I don't want that. And there are other times when the parent simply says, because I said so. Because when God, I hear a lot of parents, when God says for us to obey the authorities in our lives, the only justification that he has required us to give for why is, because I said so. He's God, right? And notice that God says to obey parents and by the extension, other authorities. Why? Because it's right. It's the right thing to do. Not to obey them when they're right or when they say makes sense or when their ideas fit with the majority. It's just not children that ask that question. Adults do it too. We live in a society of questioners who says, why? And our response should be, because God says, honor is a proper response to the sacrifice of parents. And that's what that video is about. Because I'm thinking, okay, parents, how many sleepless nights have you had raising your children? How many savings accounts have been drained because of your children? How many dreams and plans put on hold for the benefit of your children? So every parent makes sacrifices for their children, and most of the time they do it willingly out of their love for you. But that love doesn't make the sacrifice any less painful. And shouldn't sacrifices be acknowledged? Shouldn't they be rewarded? And it goes further. I thought about this. The soldier on the battlefield, the policeman on the shoulder of the road, the politician holding the news conference, they've all made sacrifices for us. And no, they're not always right. They're human. They make mistakes. They should be held accountable for their mistakes. And yes, there are some who have gone way beyond making mistakes to committing crimes. But we don't honor the evil actions or even the mistakes, but we should honor the sacrifices that they have made. So number one, you should honor your father and mother because it's the right thing to do. Number two, honor your father and mother because it will actually lengthen your life. Isn't that fantastic? Deuteronomy 5:16 in the beginning of that verse says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged. And as an individual, maybe you can probably remember some directives that your parents taught you when you were just starting to gain that smallest amount of independence. Look both ways before you cross the street. Wash your hands before you eat. Don't talk to strangers. Don't pick on anyone who's bigger than you. Well, maybe not that last one, but it's probably still good advice. With those simple, very practical lessons, your parents enabled you personally to live longer than you would have if you had chosen to ignore them. And this is equally true to governmental rules. Seatbelts, speed limits, prescription drugs, these are all items originating from authority that limit our freedoms, but also help us to prolong our lives. As a society and a civilization, because they're made up of people, I really think they live and die based on what people do with authority, beginning with the authority of parents. When tyrants exercise authority unjustly, they're eventually dethroned and a new government is established. And when a society is built predominantly of people who refuse to grow up to the submission to the parents, then every other form of authority that they do not agree with will be thrown off as well. Think about it. In our Declaration of Independence, authored by Thomas Jefferson, these words are recorded. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Think about it. So what happens when the people no longer consent? Not on moral or legal grounds, but on preference. What happens when I have a professor who is anti-America, who is saying false things about America? And if I'm not willing to bow down to the directives of God, then I'm going to rebel. And if enough people join me in that rebellion and throw off all authority, then anarchy reigns and that civilization dies. Number three, honor your father and mother, because it will increase your enjoyment of life. It says it in the middle of that verse 16 in Deuteronomy 5, that it may go well with you on the land. Your parents have a desire for you to succeed. Solomon wrote a book in the Bible that he addressed his son. He wrote it because he wanted his son to succeed, to be joyful in life, and to make good decisions. You think about Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Isn't that a great verse? And I would ask myself, why? Why would I want to not be wise in my own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil? Because it tells you in the next verse, it'll be healing to your body and a refreshment to your bones. It's true that not every parent wants success for their children. And I got to tell you, that fact saddens the father. But isn't it even truer that there are government officials who care very little bit about anything, it seems, that happens to the general populace? But because God is pleased with honor, and when honor is not easy, He promises to bless it by blessing you. Look at Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. I would like all teenagers to read verse 8 out loud. Let's do it together. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Wait a second. First, you got to wake up. All right, let's go. 1, 2, 3. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. I don't know if they get it yet, man. Indeed, why? They are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments around your neck. Proverbs 6, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Your heart's going to be strengthened when you obey your mother and father. Tie them around your neck when you walk about. What's going to happen when you go off to college or when you go off to school every day? Those things that they taught you is going to guide you, the Word of God says. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they'll talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light, and reproof for disciplines are a way of life. Think about it. The cry of every parent, I would say, is learn from my mistakes. And the response of every teenager probably is, let me learn from my own mistakes. And well, hopefully you will, but just don't make the same mistakes that your parents did. Number 4, honor father and mother because it is a reflection of your attitude towards God. Think about it. When you don't honor your father and mother, you're not honoring God. When you're talking back to your parents, you're talking back to God. So it's so important that you honor your father and mother because it really shows how much you love God. Seriously. And I've worked with teenagers for many years. You know, I know you're going to wake up as a teenager and say, my mom doesn't know anything. My father's out of date. They don't understand this generation. They've never been my age before. They've never gone through anything. That stuff is going to go through your mind. And I used to ask the 6th, 7th, and 8th grader, how many has that happened already? They're raising their hands. My parents don't know anything. They don't understand what I'm going through. That's a lie, man. They've been there. They sacrificed for you. They love you. They care for you. They work hard for you. They do everything they can to teach you to respect authority. There are so many young teenagers being killed today because they just don't want to listen. They're asked to stop and they won't stop. They're asked to put that thing down and they won't put it down. It's because they don't understand authority. And yes, have dads left down? They say 4 out of 10 kids that wake up every day don't have a father in the house. That's heavy. That's very heavy. But just obey authorities because you love God and you want to honor Him by obeying the authority. Deuteronomy, the end of 5:16 says, which the Lord your God gives you. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why in the world do you want to do that? Because it's right. It's right. Romans 13:1, every person is to be subject to, in subjection to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established from God. Forget about Democrat and Republican. Push that junk aside, man. Just honor them. Honor your leaders. And this is true even of the ungodly ones. When Romans was written, Caesar thought of himself as a god. And Christians were just starting to experience a persecution that would later result in burning Christians being used to light Nero's garden, it says in the history books. As evil as children might think their parents are, the vast majority of them don't lower themselves to torture. And as bad as some other governments have become, most of them aren't feeding Christians the lions. Most of them. Even those who have been ordained by God must be honored. Romans 13:4 says, "For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil." Not every child has great parents. But every child has parents or other authorities that can help them become great. And you're listening, God, I put, that's the God-given role of authorities to protect us and to help us reach our full potential. And it's hard to view parents as good when they can be so demanding. But it's hard to see that what they require is for our good when it often hurts so much. But that's where the trust comes in. That's when the trust comes in. Every response to authority shows our level of trust in God. Think about it. The question I must fathom is whether or not I believe that God is good. If I believe that, then it makes it possible for me to obey the authorities in my life, whether they're good or not. It matters whether or not the authorities are good, but their goodness or lack thereof is not the issue when it comes to my obedience. I'm not trusting them to save me. I'm trusting in God. Think about it. Authorities are so important. I'm sure many of you parents sitting here can go back and think about the times when you were growing up and your parents taught you things and you wanted to honor them and you wanted to listen to them. Is so important. In 1887, and I don't think anybody here has been here since then, John H. Sammis wrote a song, "Trust and Obey." Though it's over 100 years old, it's rarely sung. Its truth is just contemporary as when it was first written. A couple lyrics for you. When we walk with the light, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Isn't that beautiful? While we do His good will, He abides with us and with all who will trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Think about it. Then in the fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet or will walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. If the ushers could come forward. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We're going to take an offering if the band wants to come forward. We're going to have a time of prayer, sing a song, and then we're going to sit back down and we're going to give you some financial updates. That's why I ended early. Praise God. Father, we thank You for this time, Lord. We thank You that, gosh, we want nothing else but to talk about Your Word, meditate on Your Word, think about Your Word, share Your Word, and be ready to give a reason for the hope that You've given us through Your Word, Lord. Your Bible says to sanctify the Lord God always in our hearts and always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect and meekness and fear. And Father, I pray that today we're challenged to honor our father and mother. And as parents, that we're challenged today to teach our children how important it is to respect the authorities God puts in our life. Because when we respect them, we're respecting you, Lord. When we honor them, we're honoring you, Lord. And Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I can't think of nothing else that's more grateful and thankful from my end for you, Lord. Just speaking through me, Father. And I give you the glory for everything, Lord. I ask you to bless our offering. I ask you to bless our altar time, Lord, because we want nothing else but to open up these altars. And maybe there's someone here that is going to come up and say, Lord, I really haven't been respecting my parents. I really haven't been listening to my parents. And I realize today when I don't do that, I'm not trusting in you, God, or I'm not living for you, or I'm not honoring you, Father. Maybe there's a forgiveness that needs to be done. We talked about that in our community group today. How important forgiveness is, because unforgiveness does nothing else but bring bitterness in our lives, Father. So, Father, maybe there's somebody here that wants to forgive someone else. Maybe someone here wants to confess that they have been unforgiving, Father, and they want to be swept clean of that, Father. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Father. So we just trust the rest of this service to you, Father, to do your work, Lord. Father, and just bless our offering in Jesus' name. Amen.